looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today we celebrate the risen King. Coming up next, right here on the Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I am the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me as we celebrate the risen King. I have been looking forward to this show. Yesterday, we celebrated Good Friday, where the Lord was led to the cross and he suffered blood and died for your sins and my sins. And today, he is still in the grave. And tomorrow, we celebrate that he will rise and has risen from the dead and is sitting on the right hand of the throne of grace. And one thing I was thinking about with this show is just how important it is to know that the whole of Christianity rests on the fact that Jesus is alive, that he is not dead, that we serve a risen Savior. And to say that in a world full of darkness, I hope that brings you joy and hope and peace, that our God is not dead. He is alive, and we will one day see him, and we will live forever with him because he is alive. In the show description, I made mention of a conversation I had with an atheist some years ago, and they asked me, what would make you leave the faith? And I guess definitely want to thank one of our supporters here who reached out when I was putting this show out on the different social media platforms, and she made the point of saying that, you know, basically you can't leave Christ because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Read the verses and you will see the truth. And that's from Claire. Claire, thank you so much for adding your conversation. I responded back to her because I thought maybe I said something different than what she was saying. But that wasn't the case. She was just making sure that other people knew about that. And so when we have a risen Savior, we have a living relationship with him. That's why the Bible says, and I put in the show description as well, that the Lord says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that means that you don't have to die. Christ did that already. And not only did he die, he defeated death and now is living and sitting on the right hand of the Lord. He's sitting on the right hand of the Lord. Right now, today. That's how we can call him today. We can talk to him today. We can talk to him right now. That is the God that we serve. But I may be a little clumsy in explaining this because sometimes I get so full of so many thoughts and ideas that I can't always articulate them well. So my good friends, Rich and Linda Nathan, are back to help us understand what it means about the risen King, the risen Savior. What does that mean about faith? What does it mean? Are you new to the faith and you want to understand this more? Do you need a renewing of your mind, understanding that we serve a risen God? Do you have questions? Maybe you have doubts. I hope you listen in to the show as Rich and Linda help us to understand what it means to serve the risen King. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to open the show up with Rich and Linda. I'm so glad to have them with me today. I've actually come to see them as my surrogate grandparents. I definitely enjoy talking to them on the show and off the show, and they've been such a wonderful supporter to me and to our ministry here. So I'm always, always enjoy when I have them on the show, and I can't wait for you to talk to them as well. Call in at 646-668-8485, press 1. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show with your questions or comments. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict. conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, I am so glad you are here with me today as we talk about the risen King, our risen Savior. We're going to delve deep down into this topic, and I hope you are blessed by the conversation. With me today is Linda Nathan. They are both authors as well as people who understand just how pervasive the occult is and how it gets into the church and New Age theology and philosophies get into the church and outside the church. And so they're using the gift that God gave them as writers to expose this, but in a very fascinating way. I found out about them probably a year and a half ago, I think through Peter Younghusband, but I think it was because I was on Goodreads and I saw their book, the first book called The Glittering Web. And when I saw this book, I just had to read it. And I was live reading it on Linda's Facebook page. And she had no idea that there was some psycho woman just typing things out to her as I was reading her book. And then from there, we ended up having their books about the marijuana leaf and the cross, which is one of our top shows of 2020, I think it was. And then we talked about Mother's Day with Linda, and then Father's Day with Rich. And then we talked about the next book, Darkness Comes In Like a Flood. So now they're back to tell us about the Risen King. So you can definitely tell I always enjoy having Rich and Linda on. We've talked online. They've been such a help to me. And I really do thank the Lord for their help in my life. So many people on the show throughout the years have been so helpful. And so I feel like I'm introducing you to my surrogate grandparents once again, but some of you may not know who they are. So I'm going to bring Rich and Linda on. And Rich and Linda, how are you doing today?
Oh,
well, hello.
Grace of God, we're still here.
Amen.
Blessings and battles. That's the theme.
That's what it is. Blessings and battles, I hear you.
Well, and that's the theme of Easter.
Yeah.
See, I have to say something about that term Easter because it's very confusing because mm-hmm. Easter is the pagan goddess of spring. Now,
you know, bunnies
I
and
mean,
eggs and all
the,
that.
If what it was called mm-hmm. the in the early church was Pascha. Pascha meaning passion. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Passion in the Bible means suffering. It doesn't mean loving deeply. It means suffering. The passion of the Christ is the suffering of the Christ. So just wanted to get that straight. We're not talking about the pagan holiday. We're talking about the
yeah.
Christian holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
That's one reason why people say Happy Resurrection Sunday as opposed to Happy Easter. And then some Christians don't celebrate Easter because of the whole pagan thing. And I'm not going to get into all that because, in all honesty, I have to say we have to agree to disagree on that. But all Christians understand the significance of the resurrection. And so I feel like Paul, when he says, I'll be what I need to be to people. When he said, if I need to be this, I'll be that. If I need to be this, just to win Christ, you know. And I'm not going to argue about all that. But Marsha Montenegro did a huge post about Easter and all that kind of stuff. If you want to know more about that, go to ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. No, so.
Oh, good. We just want to make sure that eggs and bunnies don't get mixed in.
Yeah, because bunnies don't have eggs. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, you know, we're talking about the risen Christ today, the risen King. And I wanted you to really expand on this as only you can in your unique way, as people who have lived in darkness and have come into the light, as you've talked about on the show many times before. And I thought, who better to talk about the importance of Christ than people who lived in darkness? And who better to know about just the changing effect of light on darkness than you guys? And so I'm so glad you both agreed to come back and talk to us about this. So let's start off the conversation. And I want to start off with understanding why the resurrection is so important to Christianity. I know I said my few parts in the earlier, in the introduction of the show, but go ahead and share your thoughts with us.
Well, I'll jump in here. It's not just important just to Christianity, it's important to the whole world. And I pray daily that the Lord will open the eyes of every man, woman, and child on this earth to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Because the message of Easter is going from darkness to light. And I don't think, unless you maybe had your eyes opened by the Lord, that you can begin to grasp how dark the darkness can be and how light the light can be. And our lives before Christ, I mean, we've been Christians well over 40 years now, and it's still fresh and new. It keeps amazing me that he's there and he's real and he keeps shedding light in my life. We met an old biker recently and he says, Jesus just keeps dragging me out. You know, I thought that's what it's like. You know, you sit, you're going along and everything seems dark and heavy and you're struggling and then Jesus is there and the light is there. And it's, I can't begin to give, I mean, Easter is a special time that points to who Christ is and what he's done for us and the importance of his death on the cross and the resurrection. They're all interconnected, and it's a great mystery. Being forgiven, being rescued, being given a whole new life. I'm trying to convey this sense of daily knowing I've been given a whole new life when something in me is always trying to pull me back into, well, nothing's changed, you know, you're just the same. And the devil, you know, hits you with things like that regularly. But he's done it. It's done, and he's done it in us. And it's not just some system of do's and don'ts. It's a whole new life of resurrection. And he's working it out in us, and like the Bible says, we do not know yet what we will be, but we do know we will be like him. And so, I'm just fumbling here trying to convey the enormity of this change, and even after all these years that we've been Christians, still finding out day by day what it's like walking in that light. And he's just there, you know. Maybe I'll be in a depression for a little while, and then suddenly there's that love of Jesus that just comes in and envelops me, or some beautiful hymn will start shining in my mind. The Lord just keeps on loving and being there and bringing light. It's the most wonderful thing I couldn't even imagine such things. So that's my poor description of the amazingness of his resurrection in my life. Oh, not to mention all the physical healing I've had, being healed of cancer, of being given a baby when I couldn't have children after 15 years of marriage. He did amazing physical resurrections in my life as well. There's nothing that limits the Lord's power to change us, and especially if we're willing. And I think the greatest thing of all that I've discovered, as somebody who came out of the 60s and the 70s and the whole drug counterculture, San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury, the whole thing like that, Marxism, it's discovering truth and the power of truth. And with that truth comes this light that sets us free. And truth is in the Word of God. And the more I study the Bible, the more I read the Bible, the more I pray the Bible, the more that truth gets a grip on my soul and transforms me more and more. So he's given us a tool in his Word here on earth that we can go to at any time and be lifted up and be taught. So all I can say is praise God. Praise God.
It reminds me of the verses to Great is Thy Faithfulness, where it says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I
His mercies
see.
Are new.
All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided.
Great
is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that's from the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we sing that song in church off and on a lot. And every time I sing it, I feel like I am going to fly into the air. Because you realize that the great God
right.
of the universe, and I've said this on the show before, great God of the universe knows my name. And that's incredible
yes.
to me. When I think of people
yes. and he cares
have,
about all the little things,
yes.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And he has made a life for us that we couldn't have imagined, let alone that our marriage has endured through hail and storm for I've lost track of the numbers. It's somewhere up around 60 years now, 57 years or something. We have three wonderful grandchildren, a loving family. I mean, things we could never have imagined back in our days of craziness and the darkness. So, boy, I don't know. I don't even.
That's something to think about. Now, Rich,
yeah,
you know,
and our books try to reflect that. Our books are basically an attempt to show coming out of darkness into light and walking in the light, because it is a battle. There is an enemy of our souls, and there is a battle. But the Lord has won that battle for us, and he'll keep showing us that as we walk along with him. And anyway, I should let Richard dive in here, but that's my view of amazing things he's done.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, well, you know, to just add my two cents in, you know, I really totally agree that the message of Easter is going from darkness to light. And it's both a personal thing, you know, it's happened to us, but it's cosmic. It actually encompasses the whole universe, because this is God dying, you know, on the cross. I mean, that's just, you know, just mind-boggling thing. This wasn't just a good man who was suffering and an unfair thing. It was the Lord God himself in his son dying, you know, the definition of God is the undying one, the eternal one. How could mm-hmm. God die? And that's a mystery. And the other mystery is, why would he die? You know, why would he die? And that's the joy of Easter, that he died to release us from the bondage of sin, from the judgment upon us that we are sinners, and from the dungeon that we have lived in,
mm-hmm.
because we live, you know, in the world, being human beings, being children of Adam, the man of sin, and the world, not meaning the planet, but the total of human society, which is under the bondage of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. And he not only dealt with our sins, he dealt with our slavery, because we've been slaves to sin.
And boy, that's for sure.
And he purchased us out of sin by his death. And he bought us out of sin and set us free. And that's what it is to be a Christian, is to be free, really free, and eternally free. And you know, Easter just speaks of that. It speaks of this incredible dying to sin, dying for us to sin, and then it also speaks of the resurrection of Christ, which is, you know, just as powerful, that in the resurrection of Christ, we receive a new life, and we become children of God, and we are servants to and children. You know, we are in the family, and that, and, you know, Easter, in a way, is like a yearly celebration of what the churches do, sometimes weekly, sometimes less frequently, but in the Lord's Supper, in the communion, in the Eucharist, the Mass, what it's called different things in different churches. But that is like a weekly celebration of Easter, mm-hmm. You know, because Jesus says, "This is my blood poured out," that is his death, "for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, this is a celebration of new life, of unending new life. And so it's so powerful and deep that, you know, I mean, it's just a mystery, you know, and they call it divine mystery. You know, there's a song by Charles Wesley says, "'Tis mystery all," and that God should die for me, you know.
Mm.
How can it be,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
yeah, we sing that song at church too. How can it be? And it brings
us
to
love that song.
Oh, we sang it too, and I remember it from. And I'm aging myself here. I sing it from. When we had an ancient artifact called a cassette tape, and you put it into an ancient apparatus called a cassette player. And sometimes you actually listen to it on another ancient artifact called a record player. So you would listen to this song. So that's what I remember.
I remember
it's a Roman artifact. It's a Roman artifact from, you know, back
right,
in the circa
right.
1980s. So you would
right,
listen to
right.
it there. And it lets you know that when he was the how can it be, it really does fill you with this ever-increasing awe the closer we get to the Lord. Lately, like I was telling Rich and Linda online, the Lord's been working in my life within the last several weeks that lets me know he is well aware of who I am and that the God of the universe knows who Parker J is, and not just know who she is, he knows everything about her. And why would these little details matter? It lets us know that he cares about us. And so what I did really quickly, I went into the Westminster Catechism, and I was trying the shorter catechism because it's kind of a little punchier so you can remember things. And basically one of the tenets of the Westminster Catechism is that what is the chief end of man, it asks. And it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we can only enjoy him forever if he is alive. You know, and that's what we're talking about today, the risen king. So when we come back, Rich and Linda are going to expound on a passage of scripture in Colossians. They're going to expound on that and how it relates to our topic today, that Jesus Christ is alive. And if you have questions or want to just weigh in, call in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air. Hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show. with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi. Is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, PastorMike@cclohio.com. Again, that's PastorMike@cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Listen to Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotionals podcast. Organized by month, this devotional has a morning and evening meditation for every day of the year. Find us at anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard. That's anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard. Also on the Edify app. Navigate to player.edifi.app, create an account or log in, search for Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotionals podcast, click on the link to listen, then subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Let me tell you, I am just having a phenomenal time talking to my guest co-hosts and contributors today, Rich and Linda Nathan. Like I told you before, I feel like they are my surrogate grandparents. They've been such a blessing to me the last year and a half. We've connected online and offline, and I'm just so thankful that they took time out of their schedule to talk to us today about the risen King. And we were just talking before the break about just how vast the Lord is and how it's incredible to think that the God of the universe knows my name. He knows exactly who I am, and he's concerned about me. But we can only have that because our God is alive. He is not dead, and we can have a loving relationship with him. No one has a relationship with a dead person because they're dead. They can't talk to you. They can't express feelings of anger if they wanted to, or love or anything, because they're dead. But our God is alive. I went to the Westminster Catechism because I just wanted to kind of get just some thought processes going on here. And one of the things about the Westminster Catechism is that it really takes these really deep concepts and puts them into understandable language. And so one question that the Catechism asks is, what is God? And A, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. It is that simple. And you kind of go like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I want to thank Rich and Linda for being with us today. And Rich and Linda, I'm going to bring you back on because we're going to go to the book of Colossians for our discussion today. And I want you to go ahead and start off the conversation, whether you're going to read the scripture or talk about the scripture. But however you want to start this off, go ahead and help us understand what we mean by having a risen king.
Well, Colossians is one of our favorite books, and we were particularly focused on chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. And I'm going to just read the first sentence there, which is really plenty to think about, and talk about that a little bit and let Richard deal with more. It says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There is so much there. You know, we could talk all hour about that, or days. The domain of darkness, first of all. Sadly, Christians I've met don't seem to have much awareness of what the domain of darkness is, some I've met. They don't seem to believe demons are real or that kind of thing. There are many that Christians that do, but I keep meeting people that think it's kind of ridiculous or something, or it's just in movies. But the domain of darkness is very, very real and very active, and demons are very real, and Christians need to know that that's true and that battle's going on. But Jesus has delivered us from that. And before he saved me, I was deep into that domain of darkness and thinking that the demons were good spirits, like so many in the New Age do, you know, that they come and they help you and they speak to you and they give you things that sound like wisdom. There's a lot of books and stuff like that these days, all kinds of helpful things for healing and so forth. Like Reiki is one where they lay hands on you and they call forth these spirits to come and heal. And this is the domain of darkness at work. And the Lord began to open my eyes, quite dramatically to that. First, he healed me of cancer. Well, our book, The Glittering Web, actually has our actual testimonies as part of the story, the real thing that happened to us. But he opened my eyes, first of all, by healing me of cancer, and then shortly afterwards began to show me a whole rotten fabric of belief that I had in these spirits of darkness and in thinking they were spirits of light. And in believing in things like reincarnation and other New Age type thinking. And he showed it to me as just a whole rotten web that at one time had been a glittering web of attraction. And that he had taken that away from me. He had brought me out of that. And my eyes started to open to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And it took me a long time to begin to understand these things of forgiveness of sins, redemption. He saved us by putting us in a liberal Episcopal church, which you wouldn't normally think God would do that. But the thing about that church, even though they had really terrible preaching and all, they had the Book of Common Prayer, which was out of the Reformation from the 16th century, and it was very, very solid, and they had the creeds, and they had the Bible readings, and all this went on in the service combined with this other stuff that was going on too that was not so good. But I was ignorant of it all, and I began, as I was, first time I ever said the creed, it talks about who Jesus Christ is, and that I thought, oh, that's who Jesus is. And this was after he had healed me. And I had this, and my doctor was a Christian who had been praying for me. And I began to understand then the historic biblical Christianity, Christian view that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and triumphed over the forces of darkness. And I began to see these things more clearly, and I got discipled, basically, through a lot of what has come down through historic apostolic church history, and right in the middle of a very liberal environment. And, of course, the Lord moved us out of that church not too long after that. I won't go into all the details, but that was part of what he was showing us, the difference while we were in that church between the darkness and the light, and learning to read the Bible, and it was Episcopal church, and Richard, he was ignorant of anything about Christianity, and he just assumed that because we were in a church that everybody read the Bible. So he started reading the Bible, and we didn't realize that other people were not reading the Bible. But anyway, he began reading the Bible and beginning to believe what it said. And you got to realize he came out of a Marxist, atheist, occultic, New Agey drug background, so he knew nothing about the Bible at all. But the Lord really opened his eyes too. So the Lord, it was very dramatic the way we got led out of that. But it's been a long, slow process of discipleship and reading the Bible, studying the Bible, learning, and God giving us discernment of spirits and things like that. So that's kind of the short version of that. I'll let him talk more here about the other verses in Colossians.
Yeah, well, just to say one thing, it's like that it isn't just that the darkness was the occult. The darkness was rebellion.
Well, that was a falsehood, yeah.
It was rebellion and that...
lawlessness.
And like we were, in essence, magic Marxists. Because, you know, like I thought, oh, Marxism was really different from the occult, I thought. And then what I realized is Marxism and the occult are all one thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
It is the kingdom of darkness and the spirit of rebellion, you know, a rebellion against God and lawlessness, rebellion against the word of God.
But it says Jesus came to deliver us from lawlessness.
All right. So anyway, let's go on to the next part, and I'll read that. This is, okay, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, in Christ, all fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself, to reconcile to God, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So I would say there's one of the biblical descriptions of who Christ is, and not only was, but is, and ever will be. So that's who he is, and then what he did, and then it talks about why he did it in the next section, and I'll let Linda read that to you.
And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That is just so wonderful. We who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. And I want to say that I never thought of myself as alienated and hostile to God. I just thought I was right the way I thought. I wasn't trying to be bad or do, I didn't want to hurt people or do bad things to people or anything. I thought I was in the light when I was in white witchcraft. I never wanted to go into black witchcraft. Oh, no. You know, it was just white witchcraft seemed good. But I didn't know that actually I was alienated and hostile in mind, and not just while doing white witchcraft, just in general, in life. You know, I really couldn't love the way Christ loves. I didn't forgive easily at all. I have all kinds of sins I could list here that I've had. But whatever it is that we are alienated and hostile in mind, He has reconciled us in His body by His death. I just find that so amazing. And the purpose is to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. And then it talks about if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. And we've talked about that a lot. Does that mean you can lose your salvation if you, you know, get flaky or shaky? If you're not stable and steadfast, I mean, who is? Who is the perfect person? I have found that the Lord keeps me and Richard, and that we go up and down with, you know, I call it flesh faith. Some days if I don't feel good, I don't feel quite as strong in my faith as other days, but I've found that God is faithful, and He keeps us. And if we confess our sins as He shows them to us and admit, you know, I mean, because we need our minds renewed every day. We need our lives renewed continually by the Holy Spirit and the Word. We are no way perfect. I've been thinking a lot lately about being stable and steadfast. And, you know, James talks about not being blown about by winds of doctrine and being stable and steadfast. But it's the Lord that makes us stable and steadfast. It's His Word. And I've found also the traditions of that I've learned from the apostles of through church history, the stability that has come from studying the historic church and the battles that the church has had. There's nothing new under the sun. And the Lord is able to keep us in the faith and keep correcting us if we're, you know, we want to be open to Him and keep hoping in the gospel. And one of the things the devil does regularly with us is hit us with condemnation. Oh, no, who are you to be, you know, who are you to be on Parker Cole's show? Who are you to be talking about the gospel? You know, look at you. You're just a sinner, you know. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
Linda, I know that feeling well I know that feeling well because sometimes I say, who are you to be hosting this show when you know that you ain't got it together? And I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm like, you're right, I don't have it together. But thanks be to God, He still works with broken, cracked bottles. He still works with broken vessels because He's the one who is the potter. We're just the clay. And He, when we flake off, like you said, He gets some more, and He just puts us back together. When we crack over here, He puts us back together. You know why He can do that? Because our Lord is alive. That's why He can do it, because He is not dead. That's why He can do it, because He is making intercessions for us, because He is aware of us as people. Now, I see we got some callers holding online there, and I see you. So if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you can. Just press 1 to be live on air. Or if you're listening, you can also weigh in as well on Twitter. Hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show. Now, we're going to take a break in a second, Linda and Rich, because I know you guys are just going through the book of this one chapter. And unfortunately, we just don't have the time to go all the way, you know, through and deep into
right.
it.
Right.
So
we don't. We weren't
going to
do that.
We weren't going to do the whole Bible today, Parker.
Oh, okay. No, not today. Maybe tomorrow, right? But not today. So totally understand that there. But it's been just good listening and having you expand on it because, like you said, you were in darkness. You were alienated from God. You were hostile to God. Even when you thought you weren't, you were. And it came out of that verse in the Bible that says how He loved us before He He loved us before we knew who he was, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the verse. It's escaping me right now. And the fact that he loved us and he died for us and he's making intercessions for us, I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I'm really glad that you're expanding on this. What I want to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we got about 10 minutes left. We got about 10
Boy,
minutes
how time
left.
Flies.
It just goes so fast.
You're having
so
fun.
10 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm going to give our callers time to weigh in, ask questions, or if they just want to listen,
sure.
To listen. But I do see you guys there. I let you know I can see you on the switchboard. I see you. If you want to weigh in, just press 1, and we'll be more than happy to answer your question or comment. And if you don't, we're just thankful that you're supporting us today. So if you want to weigh in, call in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to The Parker J. Cole Show. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you for joining me as we talk about the Risen King. And I'm talking to Rich and Linda Nathan as they help expand on this topic, as they use their personal lives to explain how they came from darkness to light, as they expand on these scriptures in Colossians. Chapter 1, from 13 through 23. And then Rich is going to read a verse from the book of Romans that I really think sums up and really puts a pin in it, as one of my pastors used to say, put a pin on it, on our topic today. So, Rich, go ahead and read that verse from the book of Romans.
Okay. And this is just the end of chapter 11, and it's kind of a prayer, I would say, of Paul's. And he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen."
Amen.
And I think it's basically saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. No, because this is who we're dealing with. This is who rescued us. This is who loves us. This is who will bring all history to a glorious ending, like a symphony, because he is the conductor. He is the one who wrote the music, and he is leading the orchestra of time and of people and of events and everything. And everything is summed up in this glorious Savior and King and the great Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And the Bible just is this oracle of God that shows us who he is, what he's done, why he's done it, and his intentions for us in now and in eternity.
Boy.
Linda, what would you add to that?
I would just say, wow. I would just say, wow. That's awesome. For lack of words, I just
it overwhelms
like
you.
That.
It kind of overwhelms
yeah.
you when you think about this.
I'm always trying to grasp something of the truth of God. You know, like this is really real. I mean, He's given me is real. He's done this. You know, I can look back over these years and see. I can see all the battles. I can see the struggles, but I can see the hand weaving a hand of love, a thread of love. I can see that he's planted the seeds long ago, and he's brought them to bringing them to bloom. And I just, praise God. I just pray that every soul on earth can know the Lord.
And the fact that we can, and my mom always said, God is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. And there's some truth to that, because nowadays people seem to be so willingly hostile, if you think about it, willingly hostile. They don't want to hear it. They don't care. And one of the things that when you live in a post-truth society, it doesn't matter if it's true. I don't want you to make me feel bad or what I want to believe or what I want to do. You can't do that. If you do, as a matter of fact, I'll be offended. But life doesn't always make it that simple. And what tends to happen, and something I've discovered within the last several weeks, is that life is going to happen. And there are some things you cannot escape from. And there's going to be this superficial living that we all live is going to be called into question, because superficial things don't happen in life. Things that really hit our souls, that scar at us. I know one young lady, God bless her, she's an Asian young lady, and she's been so hurt by a lot of the violence going on in for Asian Americans who are being attacked right now. She's very hurt by it. She doesn't understand it. And it's actually causing her to question God. And she's probably never really thought about it before. And I think that's why sometimes pain happens. Not that we say this is a good thing. I'm not saying that. But pain lets us know that something is wrong. And what is the antidote to this pain? What is the antidote to the scar? And the fact is, the answer is Jesus. And my old pastor, as I first go to now, he said, people everywhere need Jesus. People everywhere need him. And the fact that we are in pain, feel the division. I actually went to the scriptures, and in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, you know, you said earlier how people don't believe that there are spirits and demonic forces at play here. And in the Bible, in 1 Kings, the one spirit volunteered. Okay, it was like, I'm going to be a lying spirit, and I'm going to affect these people's thoughts. You know what I mean? And to think that
I believe that happens a lot. I think that's one aspect of a spiritual battle going on. Another one that I find far more scarier is in 2 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 3, where it says, because they did not love the truth, God gave them over to a strong delusion. And yeah. I can't think of anything worse than being given over to a strong delusion where you don't have a choice anymore. God gives you over, where you have become so hardened against the truth. And I'm afraid a lot of that's happening in our time. I see that kind of just violent hatred of the
truth.
In other places, there's a hatred of truth, but in other places, there are
lights showing, too. But God doesn't run out anybody. And we need to check our hearts and make
sure that we are open to the truth wherever it may lead us. That was one thing that I did when I was in the spiritualist church. I kept praying for the highest good. I didn't know what it was, but I kept praying for the highest good. And that God did answer that prayer eventually. So it was my way, I guess, of trying to be open to whatever was true, even though I was so deluded at the time. But that's kind of like a last warning I want to give to people, is because there's a number of places in Scripture where it talks about God sealed up their eyes and their ears so they could not hear. I can't think of a worse place to be in than that.
Yeah. And not because he's forcing it on you, but if you don't – that's what I'm saying. He's not going to let you – he's not going to force you. At the same time, he said let them believe it. And so it's kind of like if you want to believe, something outrageous, that, you know, the moon is made out of cheese. Okay, fine. You know, fine, believe that. And then when you go there, you don't get greed, but you get locked. And, I mean, whose fault is that? But I'm being silly now. But I was so thankful for you and Rich for coming on board. We are at the top of the hour, and I wanted to leave time for either of you, whether Rich or Linda, to pray for us, because we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. And particularly tomorrow, I'm asking that the Lord protect our churches tomorrow, that they protect those who may want to come in and do some harm. I'm asking that the Lord just station angels around every church that's celebrating the resurrection, just protect them, because there are people who want to use as an opportunity to destroy that. And I want to ask the Lord for protection. I want to ask the Lord that he bless us tomorrow as we celebrate it, that someone comes to the saving knowledge of Christ, because it's nothing like knowing that you got God has your back, if you will, that there are angels who will protect you from the enemies, from the darkness, and they will fight these enemies on your behalf. You know, there's so much to being a child of the King, the child of the King. So I want to have whoever wants to pray. I'm going to mute myself so you can go ahead and pray. And pray as the Lord leads you as we get ready to end our show.
I think I'll let Richard do this.
Well, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to glorify you and your word. And help us to put our trust, keep our faith in you, that no matter what is happening to in society, in the culture, in the churches, and in people's hearts who are very fearful at this time. And you said, fear not. And a lot of the message of the whole Bible is fear not. God is a mighty fortress. And that he has been a fortress since the beginning of time, and he is now, and he ever will be. And help us, Lord, to through faith, through trust in you, to participate in that eternal victory won on the cross. And that you are leading us, Lord, in victory in Christ. And I think it says in the book of Revelation, and this is your victory, your faith. Now, is it that we have faith, or is it who we have faith in? That's the victory. Thank you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love it, Rich, how you were praying. Then you just started talking to the Lord. and you start letting people know that's the kind of relationship he wants with us. We start praying, then we just start talking, asking the Lord questions and talking to him, and let us know that he wants a personal relationship with us. And I want to thank you both for coming back on to be on the show again. And as always, I can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Oh,
thank you.
It's a real blessing, Parker. We love you, and,
yeah.
and we're grateful for this opportunity.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello. We were talking today to Rich and Linda Nathan. As you know, they're authors, and all their books have been showcased. I think all of them have been showcased on this show. If it hasn't, I'll make sure I correct that before long. I really want to thank them both because they were in darkness, and they talk about it via fiction in their book, The Glittering Web, and their second book, which is part of that series called Darkness Comes In Like a Flood, both of which are very good books, and they understand things, and that's why I wanted them to tell us what it was like to be in darkness and to see a great light. Rich mentioned the song, the words, A Mighty Fortress, and so that made me want to pull it up, so I did. And as we get ready to go, I'm just going to read the lyrics to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, not the whole song, but just the last stanza. And it says, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And that's from the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he's a mighty fortress because he has defeated death. He's a mighty fortress because we can withstand the enemy. He is a mighty fortress because he truly loves us, and we can depend on him. And one day we're going to live forever with him, but you have to know him as your Savior. He is coming, and he is coming back again for us. He wants you to be part of his family, but he is not going to drag you by your collar and take you kicking and screaming to be with him. You have to accept him for yourself. You don't have to be perfect. Goodness knows Richard, myself, and Linda are not perfect. We would probably laugh a lung out if someone said we were perfect. But no, he just wants you to come to him, and he's going to make you a new creature. You have to accept him. Let him do all the work as he works in you. There's so much more I could say, but I do want to say this. Thanks be to God, our King is alive and lives forevermore. Thank you for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day. And God bless.